You're listening to TalkZone.com, Internet Talk Radio. And now, let's return to Relationship Management on TalkZone.com. Here's your host, Dr. Wayne Thompson.
And we're back here at Relationship Management, and we are continuing our series on a theological perspective for family relationships. And we need to understand the design of God for relationships, beginning with marriage, and then the other ancillary relationships in family. As we look across the landscape of the world, we are not doing a very good job. And there's a need for us to reassess the foundational principles upon which relationships should be built. If we were to invest more time in this area, we certainly would have better results. So now, covenant. It is an unconditional commitment, which we can see clearly and supremely demonstrated by God in the role of the parent towards the children, humanity. Now, our first biblical mention of a covenant is found in Genesis chapter 6, verse 18. And here we see where God is establishing a covenant with Noah. Even though it had grieved God to see how wicked mankind had become, his unconditional love for mankind necessitated that he reestablish his covenant with mankind before he cleansed the world of all of the wickedness. And so in the process of cleansing the world with all of the wickedness that was going on, God maintained his unconditional covenant with humanity, and he did it through Noah. It was through Noah, his wife, his sons, and their wives that humanity was able to continue. God also demonstrated that the planet was designed for us, and that's why even the animals were a part of the covenant. And so Noah had to bring two of every living kind into the ark. That's commitment. Men were wicked, disrespectful. They were engaging in all sorts of wild, deviant sexual behavior. Just let me help you a little bit. During this time, men were forsaking their wives and sleeping with men in large groups. Sometimes they would leave the taverns and go into the fields and hold down the animals and sex them. Women were also leaving their husbands and doing the same thing. Wickedness was rampant. But God's unconditional love for humanity necessitated that his covenant continue. And so he did that, first of all, with Noah. Now, here's what's interesting. The second time we see covenant, it was when God made a covenant with Abraham. And I'd just like to read a little bit of that. That's found in Genesis chapter 17, verses 1 through 7. It's imperative that we take the time to teach this theological perspective for family relationships, because you need to understand, my brothers and sisters, trouble will come, difficulties will come, and only those marriages and only those families that have a covenant foundational basis of love will be able to survive. Oh, why are you going into all of this? Because I'm trying to teach you that your relationships are not anchored deep enough. Contractual relationships can't sustain difficulties. Only a covenant relationship can. When Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am Almighty God. Walk before me and be blameless, and I will make my covenant between me and you, and will multiply you exceedingly. Then Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, As for me, behold, my covenant is with you. You shall be a father of many nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be called Abraham, for I have made you father of many nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you. I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you in their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and your descendants after you. You know what's unique in this? See, and many of us miss it. There are some blessings that are attached to the covenant. But if you read it very, very carefully now, the blessings that are attached to the covenant, there are some conditions that must be met in order for those blessings to come. However, though, the covenant is unconditional. Aha. There are a lot of you out there who are saying to yourselves, I don't know why I'm wasting my time. I don't do all that I can. And it ain't nothing happening for me. You see here, for the blessings to pour out of glory upon you and upon your children and your children's children, there are some things that you need to do. There are too many of you who are in the covenant, but you are not meeting the conditions to access the blessings. We need to learn some things here. Now, so what God is saying to Abraham then, if I go down to verse 9, in chapter 17, for your part, as for you, see, as for you, talking to Abraham, you shall keep my covenant, you and your descendants after you, throughout their generations. You see, you must keep my covenant, you and your descendants after you, generation by generation. Now, what we can learn from these two accounts of God establishing the covenant with Noah and Abraham, first of all, we see that God was not offering either of them, Noah nor Abraham, any choice in the matter. That is, God was not saying, now I'm going to commit myself to you if you desire this. No. Instead, the establishment of the covenant was based entirely on God's action and God's action alone. God's offer was in no way contractual. That is, it was not based upon either Noah's nor Abraham's keeping his end of the bargain. A contractual relationship requires somebody else to do something. God did not require this. God's commitment was there, whether it was accepted or not by Noah or Abraham. Now, secondly, God did desire and even commanded a response from both Noah and Abraham. Did this make God's covenant offer conditional? Was God free to retract the offer if it was not reciprocated? Good question. The answer is still a resounding no. You see, the covenant which God offered was to remain an everlasting covenant, regardless of what Noah or Abraham did. Okay? Third point here then. While the covenant itself was not conditional, the potential benefits, that's what we like to call them now. What are the benefits of this relationship? The potential benefits, or in biblical terms, the blessings it provided were conditional. But Noah and Abraham were given an option by God in the covenantal offer. If they were to benefit from the offer, they had to agree to fulfill their end of the bargain. Lord have mercy. Many of you have taken the covenant of marriage. You are not experiencing the benefits nor the blessings that's in the covenant because you're not keeping your end of the bargain as it relates to the blessing. Lord have mercy. Yeah. A lot of people don't want to hear that part. Yeah. You see, it is one thing for you to be in a covenant relationship of marriage. It's another thing for you to keep your end of the bargain so that the blessings can be released to you. If you are in a covenant relationship of marriage, but you lying all the time, you cheating all the time, you can't expect to get the benefits and the blessings that's in the covenant. It is obedience to the covenant that releases the honey that is locked up in the honeycomb. It is a frustrating thing to be in the land of milk and honey and you can't extract any of it. It is a frustrating thing. But you must recognize that there are some things that you must do in order to get the benefits. So, although the continuation of God's love was not conditioned upon the nature of Abraham's response or Noah's response, they receiving any of the blessings or any of the fulfillment of the covenant was conditional. Here, they are the offer and the responsibility to react favorably in order to receive the blessing of the covenant. If you want to receive the blessing of the covenant of marriage, you've got to adhere to its principles. And unfortunately, one of the cancers that's killing us is that we look at a covenant relationship in terms of contractual lingo and ideology. And as a result of that, we are not extracting the benefits nor the blessings that's in the covenant. And as a result, you know, if that wasn't bad enough, hold on a second here. If that wasn't bad enough, it prohibits the benefits and the blessings falling on your seed. My goodness, that becomes a very serious matter when benefits and blessings can't be passed on to your children. You see, when we look closely at the covenant included Noah and Abraham and their families as well. And then God extended an everlasting covenant to Abraham, which included generation after generation. That comes down to you and I. With Noah, God even extended the covenant to include every living creature. This demonstrates the unconditional nature of God's covenant. Now, neither Noah nor Abraham could attest to, nor could they anticipate, the obedience of their descendants. Nevertheless, the blessings are accessible to those who adhere to it. Now, when we then look then at the children of Israel, we see where when they were obedient to the covenant of God, what happened? They prospered. They were blessed. Then whenever they stopped obeying the covenant, they got into bondage. They got into trouble. They went into slavery, got taken captive. Yet God's commitment to them was unconditional. Hold on a second here. See, a lot of you folk out there like to go and blame God when you got it completely wrong. See, God cannot fail. God cannot lie. Well, why did God's people end up in bondage? They ended up in bondage because of their own disobedience. Why I catch in hell in my marriage? God didn't design marriage for you to catch hell. You're not doing something right. Lord have mercy. And check this out. The minute Israel caught itself, who was there to deliver them? Unconditional covenant love. God was there every single time. We'll be back right after this.